Tonight, I want us to look at a particular portion of Scripture that speaks to us of Christ in typical fashion, because there we read of an individual who is very much a type of Christ. Now, let me just say, by way of introduction to this, that there are quite a number of characters in the Old Testament who in one degree or another remind us of the Savior. We've already studied some of those. We looked, for example, at one particular point at some things about Joseph. Joseph is a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without going into all that material again, you will find in the life of Joseph the various things that happened to him, the fact that he was hated by his brethren, the fact that he was his father's well-beloved, the fact that he was taken from prison and from judgment, the fact that he was sold for so many pieces of silver, the fact that he was exalted to a position of a great king, the fact that he was imprisoned with two others who were akin, very much reminiscent of the thieves in the New Testament. One was saved and the other perished. All of these things remind us of Christ. Joseph is a beautiful type of the Savior. Moses is a wonderful type of Christ. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18, it actually points this out and tells us, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto me." And those words are repeated in Acts chapter 3, so that it's obvious that Moses is a type of Christ. David is a type of Christ. Now, I know that David sinned against the Lord and Christ never sinned. There is that which is written of David which does not remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ, but overall, the life of David the king is reminiscent of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so many points that I could make about this. We could spend a long time just studying the life of David in 1 and 2 Samuel and other portions and bring out various aspects of Christ that are pointed to in his biography. But suffice to say that David was a shepherd, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the good shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. We know that David was a king, and in that respect, he reminds us of Christ, because Christ is the son of David, and he is the king of Israel. When you look at the life of David, you consider how that there are prophecies in the later part of the Old Testament, in Ezekiel, for example, and other places where the actual name David is employed. And yet it's not talking about David. It's talking about King David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no question that David, in many, many respects, points us to Christ. So all of these men and others that we could mention are to be included in this subject of timeless types. But the man that I want us to think about tonight for a short while is Boaz. Boaz is one of the central figures in the book of Ruth. Now, this portion of Scripture is not the only place in the Bible where Boaz is mentioned. He's actually referred to in the New Testament in the genealogies, and because of the Greek construction, he's given the rather unfortunate name of Booz. You read that in Matthew chapter 1, where it says in verse 5, "And Salmon begat Booz of Rahab, and Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias." It's Boaz who's being referred to here. And you see that Boaz himself didn't exactly have a very good pedigree, being of Rahab. But Boaz and Ruth had a tremendous part to play in the earthly line of Christ. And the book of Ruth has been variously described. In one particular commentator's work, he referred to it as from the land of Moab to the line of the Messiah. It's a beautiful, beautiful book. Boaz is one of the central figures of the book of Ruth. He is introduced to us in Ruth chapter 2 as a wealthy kinsman redeemer. The circumstances of this book may be well known to you already. There was a family led by a man called Elimelech, whose name means "My God is King." They had left because of circumstances, Bethlehem, Judah, and had gone down into Moab. While they were there, Elimelech and his wife Naomi, their sons entered into marriages with women of Moab. One was married to Ruth, and the other was married to her sister Orpah. There was a famine in the land that caused them to go down to Moab in the first place. But after a period of some years, when the two sons died, and when Elimelech himself died, Naomi decided to go back home to Bethlehem, Judah. She came back a very chastened individual. She testified to the fact that the Lord had taken her out full, and she had returned empty. She actually wanted her name to be changed from Naomi to Mara, because Mara means bitter. It was a very bitter experience for this woman when she went down into Moab. But in the providence of God, the Lord was working. And we know the story, don't we, of how there was that great decision that was made by Ruth, and indeed by her sister Orpah. Ruth was told, as was Orpah by Naomi, "Now, you can't come up to Bethlehem with me. There's no point in you coming with me. Even if I were to get married again, and we were to have sons, by the time they were grown, it would be too late for you to think that you could be part of our family. So you better just go back to where you came from in Moab and make your way there." Well, Orpah took that advice. She went back, and we don't hear about her again. But Ruth uttered those famous words, those blessed and sweet words: "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And most significantly of all, thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part me, part thee and me." Well, here they returned, Naomi and her daughter-in-law, both of them widows. And it was to Bethlehem that they returned in the beginning of barley harvest. It has been observed that the barley harvest was the first harvest of the year, so that they were in time for all the blessings that were yet to follow. But one great blessing came right away into the life of Naomi and Ruth, and that is in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, where it introduces this man who was described here as a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz can be seen in the book of Ruth taking up the place of a kinsman redeemer. When we think about Boaz, We think about him being a kinsman of Naomi's, and we think about him being a redeemer. It immediately causes us to think about Christ. This man, Boaz, it was to him that Naomi bade Ruth appeal to fulfill the kinsman's part. She wanted Ruth to be married again, and she wanted Boaz to be the one to fulfill the part of a kinsman to her. Now, we should understand in the Hebrew language there is a word that is used of a kinsman. It is Goel. You would spell it in English G-O-E-L. The name of God is obviously in it. The Goel means the Redeemer, and it signifies one whose right and duty it was, according to the law, to redeem the inheritance of the deceased relative and marry his widow. And this is what Naomi wanted Boaz to do, to fulfill that part of the kinsman redeemer to her family, and to marry the widow of her son. Now, for the background to this, you would need to read Leviticus chapter 25 and also Deuteronomy chapter 25. And you'll see there that there were certain rules that the Lord gave for the Goel or for the kinsman redeemer. There were rights that belonged to the next of kin, and the word Goel came to mean the nearest kinsman. And to fulfill these rights was his bounden duty according to God's law, and it was the fulfillment of that law that Naomi sought to bring about. So we read here in this chapter about Boaz, a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were several things that were mentioned here about him. He was a kinsman of Naomi's husband. He was related to Elimelech. He was in the family. This was necessary under the law that he might be able to redeem. Again, we refer you to Deuteronomy 25 from verses 5 to 10. Now, immediately when we think of one who's going to redeem, that makes us think of Christ. He is our great kinsman. He is, in fact, the kinsman of all men, of humankind. Because he is one of us, in order to be able to represent us and to redeem us. Now, the Lord Jesus was not of Adam's race, but he did become a real man. He became the Son of Man, taking our nature without sin, being born of a virgin. And this was necessary in order for him to redeem us. He had to be related to us, had to be our kinsman. And that brings in the subject of the incarnation. How important it was for Christ Jesus to come into the world. How important it was that he become man in order that he might become responsible for our redemption. In order to redeem us, he had to be one of us. Simply because God cannot die. God must become man in order to redeem men. And that's what he did. He took our nature, and so he is our great kinsman. But as well as that, Boaz, being a kinsman, was a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man of wealth. It really means that he possessed all the resources necessary to redeem. He had to have the wherewithal to take on this responsibility. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He is God as well as man. He is unable to sin. But he also has all the wealth of heaven at his disposal and in his possession. He has the ability and he has the right to be our Redeemer. There's a third thing that I want to point out here that makes us think about Christ. Some have suggested that the word Boaz is a word that brings before us the idea of the Lord of strength. Some will say ability. But it certainly does, in both instances, bring before us the idea of strength or ability in order to redeem. The Lord of strength, or one with the ability or the strength to redeem. And certainly we know that wonderfully fits our Lord Jesus Christ. He's not only willing to be our Redeemer, he's able to be our Redeemer. He is stronger than the strong man, able to overcome Satan, sin, and death. Thus Boaz, in that sense, is a wonderful type of Christ. When we read about Boaz, we see, however, that he admitted that he was a Goel, he was a Redeemer, but that there was a kinsman who was nearer than him. In other words, there was someone related to Elimelech who had a prior claim and could have actually said, no, I'm going to redeem Ruth and not you. And of course, that forms part of the story of the book of Ruth, because there was a law related to that. If someone was a closer kinsman than somebody else, he was allowed to relinquish his responsibility, but he had to go through a ritual in order to do that. And so we go to Ruth chapter 4 and we see that that's what happened there. There was a kinsman of whom Boaz spake. He was a closer kinsman than Boaz himself. But he relinquished his prior claim to redeem the inheritance of Elimelech, i.e. taking up Ruth and raising up the name of the dead upon the inheritance. See, in verse 5 of chapter 4, Boaz said to him, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And that was a step too far for this kinsman. If it was just a matter of buying the field, he would have done that. But he realized in buying the field, he would also have to take Ruth as his wife and raise up seed to her. He wasn't prepared to do that. And so in verse 6, the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. And there are those who have rightly viewed this as being the prior claim of the law upon us. The closer kinsman represents the law, which has a claim upon us. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. There was, by the way, here a ceremony that had to be gone through. If someone didn't want to act as the kinsman redeemer and relinquish his right, he would pluck off his shoe and he would give it to his neighbor. Rather interesting event that happened there. But Boaz was permitted to be the redeemer because the kinsman with a greater right to redeem had relinquished his claim. And there is a wonderful type here, and there is a wonderful message here of what Christ has done for his people. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the prior claim of the law. The Lord Jesus is the kinsman with the right to redeem. You'll notice that the person said to Boaz in chapter 4, I cannot redeem it. I don't have the ability. And the Bible teaches us, doesn't it, that the law doesn't have the ability to redeem us because it's weak through the flesh. It's only Christ who can redeem us. And the Lord Jesus is the kinsman redeemer. The Lord Jesus has the right to redeem us, not only because he is a kinsman, a condition that he had to fulfill, but also because he was sent into the world by the Father to accomplish the redemption of his people. He did that by his death upon the cross and the shedding of his blood. Salvation is nowhere else to be found but in Christ. If Boaz had not redeemed Ruth, she would not have been redeemed. He was the kinsman redeemer. It's interesting when we think about Boaz in relation to Christ. He actually took Ruth and she became his wife and she bare a son. And Matthew chapter 1 refers to that. That son who was born was called Obed, the father of Jesse, who was in turn the father of David. Here we have the Lord bringing out the royal line of Christ. We know that one of the greatest proofs of the truth of Scripture is found in the prophecies concerning the birth of the Messiah. Every time that prophecy predicts a fresh branch of the family as being the chosen one, there was a fresh risk, humanly speaking, that was involved. But because God inspired the prophecies, the choice was made with unerring precision. For example, in Noah's sons, Shem was chosen. With Abraham's sons, Isaac. Of Jacob's 12 sons, Judah is selected. And then the promise is renewed to David. And again, Messiah must have a birthplace. It has been rightly said of three known continents, Asia is chosen. And of its many countries, the land of promise is chosen. Of its three districts, Judea is chosen. And of its many thousands of villages, little Bethlehem Ephrata is selected. The prophet puts his finger on a little obscure village on the map of the world in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, out of thee shall come he that is to be ruler in Israel. The omniscient God was behind that utterance. This was a prophecy of God that came to pass. And you find this spoken of in the book of Ruth. But the keynote of the book of Ruth is this kinsman redeemer theme. In the kinsman redeemer, we see Christ, who has purchased his church to be his bride. In a sense, you could say that Boaz purchased Ruth. He bought the field from Naomi, but he also purchased Ruth at the same time and took her to be his bride. Really interesting that in the book of Ruth, some 30 times in four chapters, the word kinsman is found. Or you could say redeemer, or near kinsman, or next of kin, or kindred. These are like words all having reference to the same thing. And this book is definitely intended to teach the doctrine of redemption. The word redemption actually occurs in the book of Ruth 5 times in the space of 3 verses. And we see here in verse number 10 of Ruth chapter 2 that Ruth was amazed at the grace that Boaz showed to her, a stranger. We are reminded in that even of our own attitude when it's a proper attitude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mephibosheth, who in turn is part of a story that's another illustration of Christ's mercy with David. Remember he said to David, "What am I that thou shouldest show the grace of God to such a dead dog as I am?" Ruth here says, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, saying, I am a stranger?" She was amazed at the mercy. She was amazed at the grace of Boaz. But Boaz declared that in redeeming the property of Naomi, he would also purchase the widow of Mahlon to be his own wife. Again, there's typical teaching here. Someone wrote this: "Nothing can explain the extreme minuteness of detail here except a typical design on the part of the inspiring Spirit. Our Lord Jesus had to become one with man in order to have the right to redeem. He is, therefore, our fellow man. But if he had been involved in man's fall and identified with man's sin, he could not have acted as redeemer. No sinner can redeem himself, much less can he redeem his brother." Psalm 49, verse 7. He is therefore as the God-man, our Boaz. Again, reminded of the name, which means ability. By that kinship and strength or ability, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. You know, the idea of redemption, of buying back, is always associated with God's salvation. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul talked to the elders at Ephesus about the church which God hath purchased with his own blood. He speaks to the Corinthians a couple of times in chapter 3 and again in chapter 6 of being bought with a price. He is our Redeemer. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He is our kinsman Redeemer. Now when we consider the book of Ruth, we see that Boaz is the kinsman Redeemer, and he is one who sets Ruth working in his field. And that's what the Lord does with his people. The Lord is the one who puts us to work in his field. We also find that when we glean in the Lord's field, as Ruth did, that the Lord himself feeds us. He lets handfuls of purpose fall for us. We see this lovely picture in chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, where Ruth was out there working, and whenever the mealtime came, Boaz said to her, chapter 2, verse 14, "At mealtime come thou hither and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and notice this, "And he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed and left." And this is what the Lord does for his people in communion and fellowship. As we're serving our heavenly Boaz, he will actually feed us personally by reaching us handfuls of purpose. You read that, by the way, in verse 15 and 16, that Boaz, when she rose up to glean, she went back to work. Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." There's this superabundant kindness that he showed to her, giving her handfuls of purpose. And doesn't the Lord do that for us? He gives us handfuls of purpose, of his mercy and of his grace. It would be good for us to study all four chapters of the book of Ruth and see the relationship that there is between Ruth and Boaz. We see a wonderful picture of Christ in so many different respects. For example, at the end of chapter 3, we have a word from Naomi to Ruth about sitting still. Ruth was kind of, as you might expect, in a position of wondering, is Boaz going to take me to be his wife or not? She wasn't quite sure, I think, at this point. And she wondered if he was going to act the part of a kinsman to her. I think Ruth must have known about the prior kinsman's right. She must have known about the nearer kinsman's prior claim. She would wonder if Boaz was going to take care of that, if he was going to just walk away from the whole thing, or if he was actually going to follow through and take her as his wife. And so this explains at the end of verse 18, the end of chapter 3 in verse 18, when Naomi says to her, "Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing this day." Naomi had great confidence that Boaz was not going to rest until he had accomplished redemption, until he had actually stepped up and become the kinsman redeemer for her. And I think the terminology there is really interesting. The man will not be in rest until he have finished the thing. Remember how the Lord Jesus Christ was able to say that he had work to do. He had meat to eat that they knew not of. I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straitened till it be accomplished? The Lord Jesus would not be in rest until he finished the work of redemption. And that's exactly what he did. And he was able to say in John 17, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. On the cross, he said, it is finished. And that which was finished was the work of redemption. Though the union of Ruth with Boaz is typical of Christ's church as a whole, yet there is for the individual Christian the blessed experience of union with Christ set forth under so many different figures in the Bible. We think of the abiding of the branch in the vine. Someone pointed out, God placed the book of Joshua and the book of Ruth on each side of the book of Judges, as if to show us that the victory of faith and the rest of faith is the experience that we're to look for as followers of an almighty Savior. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, reminds us of the Lord Jesus Christ. In so many different respects, we can see this. Perhaps when we study the book of Ruth in more detail at some point, we'll bring some of these things out. But suffice to say that the union that Naomi sought for Ruth with Boaz is a picture of the eternal union of Christ with his church, which is going to take place on the day of resurrection. There was here a wonderful transaction that took place that resulted in Ruth becoming part of the line of the Messiah. And when we come to chapter 4 and verse 10, I want to just finish with this. He said, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And in a sense, that's a word to the church. Ye are witnesses this day. What are we witnesses of? We're witnesses to the great truth of redemption, that the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased his church to be his bride. And the Lord has done that, not with money, but with his own precious blood. Boaz is a type of Christ. And I think that as we look at the Old Testament scriptures and we seek for the Savior there, as I've been pointing out week by week and month by month, we will find the Lord there. We'll find him in the various ceremonies. We will find him even in the biographical descriptions. And as you study the book of Ruth in so many different respects, you see that Boaz is reminiscent of our own kinsman redeemer, the one who was both able and willing to buy us back from the slave market of sin. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. May the Lord help us as we study to see the Lord Jesus Christ in his word.